Thank you, worship team, leading us. That was wonderful. Let's thank them. Thank you. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Another Christmas is upon us. Can you believe it? Just seemed the other day we were sitting here celebrating Christmas at the end of last year, but here we are again. My text tonight is from Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22, just one verse. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ or Messiah? Pilate asked. Well, I want you to listen to this. And there were children keeping watch over their stockings by the fireplace. And lo, Santa Claus came upon them, and they were terrified. But Santa said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy to all people that can afford them. For today will be given great feasts, turkey, dressing, and cake, and many presents. This shall be a sign to you. You will find the presents wrapped in bright paper, lying beneath a tree decorated with tinsel and colored lights. And suddenly, there will be with you a multitude of relatives and friends saying, 'Thank you so much. It was just what I wanted.' And when the relatives and friends have gone back to their own homes, the parents will say to each other, 'What a mess to clean up. Thank goodness Christmas comes only once a year.'" What a sad reflection, isn't it, how some think of Christmas. And it's true that Christmas means different things to different people. That is why you may wonder I have chosen this text for a Christmas message. You may think that I've got the seasons mixed up and this has nothing to do with Christmas, but that's just not the case. In fact, this text has everything to do with Christmas. You see, you cannot separate Bethlehem from Calvary. You cannot separate the cross from the cradle. The symbol of Christianity, as we know, is not a cradle nor a crown, but a cross. Apart from the incarnation in Bethlehem, there could never have been an atonement for sin at Calvary. And apart from the atonement for sin at Calvary, there would be no reason for the incarnation in Bethlehem. We all know John 3:16 so well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life." Nothing else, you see, would convince us that God loves us. And Paul in Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And I'm sure you will agree with me that today Christmas has become so commercialized, removed from its original meaning, that it is necessary for us, I believe, to get back to basics. Let me remind you of the most important part of Christmas is, in fact, the first six letters, C-H-R-I-S-T. Now, you'll see the question that Pilate asked is actually of great significance. Everything for time and eternity depends on the right answer to that question. So let us briefly examine that in more detail. Firstly, Pilate said, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Note that question is very personal, and it requires a personal answer. No one else can decide for you. You see, Christianity is not a religion, but it's a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not whether you belong to a church, whether you've been baptized, whether you take communion, whether you give tithes, whether you try and keep the golden rule. But do you know Jesus Christ, the Savior, who was born over 2,000 years ago Do you know him as your Lord and Savior personally? In other words, have you asked him personally to forgive you for your sin and invite him to take control of your life? Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him and he with me." Jesus stands there and waits for us to invite him in to have that personal relationship with him. Now, although I was born in a Christian home, I was taught the gospel, I went to church, went to Sunday school, it wasn't until the age of 12 that I invited Jesus personally into my life. I trusted him as my Savior to forgive me for my sin and to give me that gift of eternal life because he died in my place on the cross. You see, dear friends, you are no more a Christian if you're born in a Christian home than you would be a horse if you were born in a stable. Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And each one of us personally and individually on our faith journey must meet, know, and follow Jesus. Someone said this, "Though Christ in Bethlehem 1,000 times be born, unless he is born in me, my soul is all forlorn." References to Jesus in the carols we sing are of no value unless you have personally accepted him who died for you on the cross. Second thing is, Pilate said, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ or Messiah?" Notice, what shall I do with a creed or a church, but Jesus. Because you see, Christianity never consists of knowing about Jesus, but always knowing him personally. Now, dear friends, I may know all about Clayton Kershaw, the Dodgers pitcher. Sorry, Angels, I don't know the name of your pitcher. Or Jared Goff, the Rams quarterback. But you know, I've never met them personally. So, in fact, I don't know them at all. May know all about them, but I don't know them. You see, our knowledge of Jesus can never be at second hand. It's not enough to know what other people say or think about him. It's only when that opinion is turned into experience that the full impact of Jesus Christ is felt upon a human life. You need to know him personally. It's quite possible to have a head knowledge without a heart knowledge. In other words, you can accept the historical fact of Jesus, but it'll make no more difference to your life than the fact that Julius Caesar or Alexander the Great ever lived. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed." Not what I have believed, not some religious creed or intellectual formula, but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we know how the Apostle Paul found Jesus when Jesus found him on the Damascus Road. The third thing is what Pilate said was, "What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" Notice again, not what I think about him. No matter how orthodox opinions may be about him, they are simply just not enough. Jesus Christ, you see, always presents us with a challenge to action. We are either for him or we are against him. It's an all or nothing. And that question demands an answer. So let us see how different people have responded. Well, some crucify him. Like Pilate, handed him over to those who said, "We will not have this man to be our king. Crucify him." And dear friends, it's no different today. When Jesus comes, you see, he upsets the status quo of self-righteousness, self-sufficiency, self-esteem. And people don't like that. They don't like to be told they're a sinner. They don't like to be told they cannot do anything for their salvation. They don't like to be told that they're not good enough to go to heaven. They don't like that. And so they crucify him afresh. They reject his claim upon their lives. Others have no room for him, just like the Christmas story in Luke 2. There was no room for him at the inn. And it's the same today. Always, isn't it, room for pleasure, for business, for worldly pursuits, for superficial religious activity, room for many things, except for the only one who can bring true meaning, peace and joy in the heart. And others simply ignore him. Thousands were not even aware of the significance of what was taking place in Bethlehem that first Christmas night. And so it is today. How easy it is to be caught up in all the festivities of Christmas that we miss out the real reason for the season. We crowd it out completely, and so many just ignore it with indifference. No wonder the world is in such a mess. You see, sin has blinded the hearts and minds of people so that the Savior is turned away. John 3:19, we read, "Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds are evil." You see, you cannot think you can answer this question simply by ignoring it. We saw that feeble attempt of Pilate to answer that question, because doing nothing actively means, in fact, that you are against him. Jesus said, "He is not with me, is against me." So that question that Pilate asked demands an answer. It cannot be evaded, and you must answer it for yourself. As we come here, Christmas 2018, we know that Jesus has given us every reason to accept him as Savior and Lord, because he came to die on the cross. He was the man who was born to die. He's the only person who was. We are born to live, but Jesus was born to die. To die on that cross as an atoning sacrifice for your sin and mine. But thank God, not everyone rejected him. There were those who recognized him and received him. John 1:12, we read, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That, dear friends, is a wonderful message of Christmas. And if you receive him into your life by faith and repentance, he will transform your life. Listen to what Paul said. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." And the moment you confess your sin and ask Jesus to forgive you on the merits of his death on the cross in your place, you become his child by adoption, and he gives you the gift of eternal life. It is a free gift of God's grace. Dear friends, that's why we give gifts at Christmas. You don't pay for them. You don't say, no, I haven't worked for that gift. When you offered a gift, you receive it gratefully. God has offered us the gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with that gift? You see, you cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot inherit it. It is, in fact, as easy as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner before a holy God and that you cannot save yourself. B, believe that Jesus died in your place on the cross to forgive you for your sin. C, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and he will. That is his promise. He wants you to come as you are, right now. You don't have to try and improve yourself. You just have to trust him. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? What about you, sir? What about you, madam? What about you, young person? Has God been speaking to you tonight in your particular situation and circumstance? Maybe you're confused, disillusioned by all the voices you hear around you. Is Christmas just an expensive tradition for you. Perhaps you've tried this way, that way, but still have the burden of sin, guilt, and shame. Maybe you're at the end of your tether. Life has no meaning, no purpose. You've discovered that there is no hope in science, philosophy, ideology, technology. We live in a disillusioned world, and on every hand, there is instability and insecurity. May I plead with you tonight, if you're in that situation, why not stop juggling with yourself? Stop struggling to find meaning and peace in your life. The world is gripped by crisis, chaos, and confusion. The message of Christmas is that all that can change if you accept that gracious offer of salvation given to you by our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, it doesn't mean just turning over a new leaf and trying harder next time. But the transforming power of Jesus Christ gives you a new life. And that can happen tonight. The Lord Jesus is the only hope in a hopeless world. He's the only one who makes sense in a senseless world. Maybe, dear friend, tonight you once walked with Jesus. You loved him and you worshipped him, but the world crowded in upon you and you stepped away off that path. Tonight's an opportunity for you to stop that path and come back to him right now. And dear friends, when you do that, then you'll make this Christmas one of a real and true meaning for you. Just one final thought. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. One day, you will be asking, "What will he do with me?" Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the message of Christmas. We thank you that it is a message of hope. We thank you it's a message that brings us joy and peace. And we pray for us now that each one in this room may know that for themselves, as they know personally the one who came as a babe in Bethlehem, who lived in this world, who died on a cross, who was put in a tomb, who rose again, who ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father, and one day will come back again. We worship you and praise you and adore you and ask that you will help us each one to have a truly blessed Christmas. In his name, amen.